The next speaker is Kelly Shackelford. Kelly is the president and chief executive officer of First Liberty Institute. He is also the vice president of this organization, Council for National Policy, and he's the chairman of CMP Action. He and his wife, Karen, live in Dallas. Kelly? There you are.
Okay, my job is to update you very quickly on the judicial happenings and what's really going on, a little more depth. About 3.5 years ago, there were a number of people in this room that were with me in New York to meet this new candidate, this Trump guy. And it was like 1,000 evangelical and Christian leaders, and they're trying to figure out, and I was asked to ask him the questions about judges. And I didn't just ask about Supreme Court, but all the hundreds of lower court. And he made a promise to us. He said, I'm going to appoint very strong conservative judges, and I'm going to rely on groups like Federalist Society and Heritage and groups like, you know, First Liberty on the religious liberty issues. And so how has he done? This is what I'm here to talk about. Well, I'm going to tell you, you know, some people know, but I'm going to show you a little more detail. In particular, oh, they've already gone way ahead of me by putting the first map. But I'll wait a second to tee that up to tell you what I want to tell you about that. But, I mean, some of us literally opened a whole operation on judicial nominations and vetting. We poured millions of dollars into this to make sure the president has good information. He picks the best judges. And that's what's happening. Look at the first 2 years. You see the 85. That's 85. These are appointed for life, okay? And these are not like in the past, like, hey, I helped you get elect president, and my brother's an attorney, so maybe you want to consider him. That's not how it's working. It's people with strong judicial philosophy. It's people with the highest credentials we've ever seen. 85 in the first 2 years, but I want to show you what's happening in the second 2 years. Show the next slide. Okay, we're 85 in the first 2 years. We plan to be at 250 by the end of this year. And it's not just the numbers, it's the quality of these people. I wish I could explain to you, talk through each of these people. I mean, one of the people, for instance, he picked a guy who's one of the most conservative, brilliant guy, attorneys I've ever met. He worked for me. He would rather die than ever turn from the Bible to the Constitution. And at age 38, the president appointed him to be a federal judge for the rest of his life. Okay, start multiplying that many times over. Let's talk about the Federal Court of Appeals. There are about 179 appellate judges. This is where all the cases end. There's only 75 cases a year that make the Supreme Court. Okay, all the rest die at the Court of Appeals. Who are these people? Well, Obama in 8 years confirmed 58 in 8 years. Okay, in the first 3 years, Trump has already confirmed 50 in 3 years. Okay, and that is a huge. That we're talking about a fourth of all the appellate courts where all these things end. Who was number 50? What kind of person? Lawrence Van Dyke. Lawrence Van Dyke, number one in his class from Harvard Law School, Solicitor General of the state of Nevada. Lawrence is so conservative that I'm liberal compared to Lawrence Van Dyke. He was just confirmed at age 46 for the rest of his life to the Ninth Circuit. Okay? That is change, okay? And Lawrence is just the beginning. There's already been another one since Lawrence. There's now 51. Who was 51? 51 was 38 years old for the rest of their lives on the Federal Court of Appeals. So what is happening? Incredible. I just want to show you just the Federal Court of Appeals. When we started, the average age of the liberal appointed judges or the Democrat appointed judges on the Federal Court of Appeals was 61. I think we got a chart. Yeah. Okay. The average age at that time, 3 years ago when Trump took office, of Republican or more conservative appointed judges was 71. Okay? Now, let's go 3 years later. 3 years later, the average age of the Democrat went from 61 to 65. Now look at where the Republican went in those 3 years. That is a switch of the future. You can see the future now of what's beginning to happen. Instead of like this, it's now flipped. And we're literally changing the future of the country and the judges we're going to have for our grandkids. And so this is when we go into the elections, which we're going to talk about here in a little bit, this is a long-term issue of who gets elected. You know, who is in the Senate confirming these judges? Who is the president? Because that's going to, you know, either stop all this or continue this in a way that is incredibly dramatic for the future. But what I wanted to help connect for you a little bit was what this means. Okay, we've got these judges changing, and what that's happening is that's changing all of our fundamental principles back to the founding principles. An example I give you is just the area I work in is religious freedom. There are two religion clauses, an establishment clause and a free exercise clause. There is a horrible case under both of those that has been around for maybe 150 years, 130 years, that has caused incredible damage to religious freedom. Back in the 60s, the 70s, the liberal Warren Court. And if you'd have asked me 4 years ago, can you get rid of those cases? I'd say, not in my lifetime. We can chip away at it, maybe get some progress, but no. I am now in the process of watching both of those things maybe being blown up. And really, I'm watching history change. What do I mean? Let's take the Coach Kennedy case. A lot of people know Coach Kennedy, the coach who was fired for going to a knee after the football game. And went to, unfortunately for Coach Kennedy, he lives in the Ninth Circuit. And by the way, we flipped four circuit court of appeals so far with the judges, okay? The Ninth Circuit, we are two seats from flipping for it to be totally controlled by the conservatives, okay? This close. But we're not there yet. So Coach Kennedy got a Ninth Circuit opinion that said, coaches are not allowed to pray in public if anyone can see them. That was the ruling. We go to the Supreme Court. Well, what we didn't want from the Supreme Court was cert denied, which they get 9,000 cases a year. They only take 75. You mostly get cert denied, meaning your case is over. Well, we got cert denied, and we went, oh, no, this is horrible. And then somebody said, wait, there's a statement attached to the cert denial, which almost never happens. It was the four conservative judges, including the two new ones, Kavanaugh and Gorsuch, okay? And they said, this is only cert denial for now. We want you to go back down. There's some facts we want developed. And then they added this thing at the end. They said, by the way, we noticed that the first claim to reach us in this case was a free speech claim, not a free exercise claim. Maybe that's because of the Smith decision, which has caused so much damage to religious freedom over the past 30 years. But we haven't been asked to review that decision yet. I mean, the court sent us a sign that they're basically ready to blow up this horrible case that has strangled religious freedom in this case for decades. I mean, incredible, right? What about the Establishment Clause? The Establishment Clause says Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion. Okay, what does that mean? I think most of us know what it means. We don't want there to be a national established church that then we're forced to support in some way that robs us of our religious freedom. But 50 years ago, liberals in the Warren Court said, no, it means so much more than that. And it means separation of church and state. It means offended observer status. It means, what's offended observer status? It means that you, if you walk through a community and you see a religious symbol and you're offended, you can now bring lawsuits. You can't bring lawsuits because you're offended in any area of the law except here. So our whole lifetime, what have we seen? Nativity scenes under attack, Ten Commandments under attack, prayer in public under attack, all these religious, do you think the founders thought there was a problem with any of those things? Of course not. But they were perverting the Establishment Clause. The case was called Lemon. It was aptly named. It was a lemon, okay? So we had this case, I think many of you saw this, the Bladensburg Cross. I've got a picture, I think, outside the Supreme Court. You see the cross. That memorial was put up 100 years ago by mothers who lost their sons in World War I, right outside of D.C. in Prince George's County, Maryland, to honor the 49 young men who died in World War I. A lawsuit was filed by the American Humanist saying, you have to tear this down because this has a cross. And at the Court of Appeals, one of the Obama judges, the federal judges we had, literally said, why don't we just cut the arms of the cross off? Because that way nobody will be offended and we won't have to tear it down. So we've got a ruling. The two Obama appointees ruled unconstitutional. The Clinton appointee went with us. And they said, after 100 years, you got to tear this memorial down. Well, we went to the Supreme Court and we could have gone for the bunt single, hey, let's protect all the memorials and try to win. But we thought, look, because of who's now in the Supreme Court, let's get rid of Lemon. It's caused all this damage for 50 years. Let's go for the grand slam. And so that's what we argued for. Well, the first person to ask a question was Justice Gorsuch. He said, you know, I kind of feel like Lemon is a dog's breakfast and it's lived its day. We said, I think Gorsuch is with us. And then Kavanaugh said something, and then the chief said something, and we thought we might have five votes. The decision was 7-2, protecting this cross and this memorial. But more importantly, it was 5-4 saying, we're not following Lemon. It's no good. And I just want you to understand, for 50 years, we've gone in a hostility to religion by the government approach. That is now blown up, and we are now going a whole different direction. We still have to build this other side out, but I am watching history change on its axis. Every American alive, in my opinion, is about to have more religious freedom than they've ever had in their lifetime. And it's because of what's happening with the judges. So this is so important. I could go through other issues, the Fifth Amendment, property rights. I could show you the same thing. The best way I can, when I end here, the best thing I want to tell you is it's kind of like the Continental Divide. And the rain was raining over here, and it's just moved, and it's now raining over here. Okay? It doesn't look like a big move, but this water is going to a totally different ocean. It's going a totally different direction. We are watching the foundation shift, and we're going back to our founding principles. And if we want to keep that, the elections are going to be really, really important. So.